Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another wonderful Family Power Hour. I am your host, Sheena Benjamin Wise, with my co-host, Dr. Billy Eisenberg. We are here again on another beautiful afternoon in South Florida. This morning started out cold, and then it got warm, and now it's getting cold again. So, you know, I think Mother Nature is having a little bit of passive-aggressive against us. Yeah. So
it was chilly, very chilly this morning.
It was.
But it's a great weather. So we have Family Power Hour, and what is all about, Sheena? What are we showing?
The Family Power Hour is here to talk about topics that impact the family, divorce. We talk about money. We talk about sex. We talk about love. We talk about anything that can empower or love or educate our listeners on topics of everyday life.
But don't forget, it's not a device show. It's a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
So you're most welcome to call us to 347-945-7246 and share the story and just ask the question and just be with us. Just share with us. And Sheena, tell us who you are.
Once again, I am Sheena Benjamin Wise. I'm a family law attorney practicing at my office is in Pompano Beach, and I serve Palm Beach and Broward County. You can reach me at 954-783-9737, or you can email me at sdwise@wiselawoffice.com. You can tweet me at sdwiselaw. Tweet.
And I'm Dr. Billy. I'm a clinical psychologist and family therapist, and you can reach me 561-271-7106. My office is in Boca, and you can email me at drbeisenberg@gmail.com, and you can tweet me.
Tweet me.
Dr. B-E with another E. So, and again, you can go to the Facebook page, Family Power Hour. You can like us. And, of course, you have all the information for you can listen for the archive. We have a great episode, and again, last week was a great episode with Samantha.
Yes.
Yeah, it was really a nice show. You can go all the information.
We got a lot of feedback about children getting in trouble with the law, and it was pretty powerful show.
And now that the parents need to know what they know. But the top story of the week. So, and again,
it seems to be the same.
Yeah, there's, I think finally, and I hope it's true, they find all the 120 objects for the plane, and I hope for the lost family member, they're going to have peace, because maybe it is, and then, you know, as much as it's really terrible, but maybe they're going to find any kind of peace.
You know what, Dr. Billy, I was reading up a little bit about the Malaysia Air tragedy, and they still have no real firm answers for these families. And these families are starting to really come up in protest,
mm-hmm.
and really are getting frustrated with the whole process, and it's really heartbreaking what's happening there.
Yeah, I think the unknown, it's really a big elephant in the room. You need to know what's going on, and I feel like they will find a piece and they can bury or just have memories for the loved one. Another top story was the traumatic fire in Houston.
Yeah.
It was huge. We have the guest here. It was a huge construction building, and I watched on TV, and it was a fire, and thank God nobody was injured, but it was really, really scary. The flame showed all over. Did you saw this on TV?
No,
I'm so happy that it was just a building, and everybody was saved. And all, okay. I have a question for you. Two of you.
Yeah.
A lawyer. We try not to break the law. Where do you think is the time when you can bend the law, when you can just not follow the rules? There was any time for this?
Of course. That's part of what makes America so strong. Over the years of our history, it was people who bend the rules or sometimes, you know, really push it to the edge that made a difference in our our history.
No, it was a story in Colorado. One, a 9 years old girl, she shaved her head. Because she wants to show her friend that she's have cancer, that she's not alone. And when she comes to the school, said, you cannot, because it's the
violating the dress code.
The dress code. And she prevented her coming to school. So of course it was all over. And then the school did it was a meeting, and they apologized and said, you know what, you're right. And 9 years old girl, that she did something so good, so heroic for the what do you think about this?
First of all, my name is Scott Hyman. I'm here on behalf of the Ticton Law Group, and thank you for welcoming me. This is my radio debut. You ladies are experienced in this, so forgive me.
And we just want to tell everybody, it's you're not sobbing, but we have promoted that Slidore going to be here, but he wasn't.
He's preparing for trial.
All right.
Yeah. So that's the only excuse we give our guests. So if you're preparing for trial, got trial tomorrow morning, you're okay. You can send a friend. Go ahead.
All right. So who you are, dear?
Excuse me?
Jasper Zendisevska.
Oh, well, like I was saying, my name is Scott Hyman. I'm a brand new attorney. I just started working for the Ticton Law Group. We're located in Deerfield Beach, Florida. Our phone number is 954-570-6757. And you can tweet at me, SHYMAN, it should look like Shy Man 23. That is my Twitter handle.
And you're definitely not a shy person. And you can go to the Facebook. You have all the information with Twitter, for the picture and all the information for the website, for the phone number, how you can reach the Ticton Law Group. So what you can tell
Before we start, I just wanted to really talk about the power of Facebook, right? So there are two incidences that happened where an individual found Army medallions on the Miami Beach, or Fort Lauderdale Beach. And putting it out on Facebook, they found the owners, which lived in Texas.
Hmm.
They found the owners. And another situation, a young lady who was abandoned at Burger King grew up, and not having any ill will towards a woman who her biological mother who abandoned her, put it on Facebook, and they got reunited. And it's just like, wow, this Facebook and social media is so powerful. So,
it's powerful and dangerous, you know. You remember the story about the twins, one from France, one from England. They find each other through the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, all the social media, it's powerful and it's very dangerous because you don't know how people just play with it. So what do you think about the social media?
I think it's highly useful if it's used for the right reasons. I think it can be used in dangerous ways. Like you said, it could be used to bully others, especially younger people. So in that respect, it can definitely present some harm, but I think it's mostly good than bad. It's a way to reconnect with people that you otherwise wouldn't have reconnected
right.
with.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to find people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a way to do research. It's a way, you know, if the uses for the social media are endless,
right.
but so are the dangers. I've been using it ever since I've heard about it. I mean, it's a great way to, keep in touch.
And ask your little friend to go to Family Power Hour and like us.
Right,
and
on Facebook.
So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, does Ticton Law Group have a Facebook page?
We do. It's the Ticton Law Group Facebook page. We post stories about how we've been performing in court recently, blog articles, and, you know, sort of just updating the world on on the progressions with inside and outside the firm.
So you can post tomorrow that the radio show and how it was so successful.
Yeah.
How we've been so good to you. Scott, you, tell us about the 16 law firm.
Well, it's only a 5 or 6 year old firm. Peter Tichton started this with the vision to help people, individuals. And really he blossomed it into a mecca for foreclosure defense, people who are having troubles with their lenders and with their mortgage, you know, affording it, or, you know, even when there's predatory lending, that sort of thing. And he's really developed this firm into one of the more prestigious foreclosure defense firms in the state of Florida, if not the country, in my opinion. And as it's grown over the years, we have branched out into different areas of the law. In the coming years, the real focus is going to be general litigation. And, you know, that's his, that's Peter's true vision of the firm, is to help those in need of a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah.
And so how long have you been with the firm?
I've been with the firm since August.
Good for you. All right.
You've been with the firm as long as our show's been on.
And, you know, we can, nobody can listen to us right now, but you said something, you really like to work at the firm.
Yeah,
I really
earlier.
Like to work
yeah.
at the firm. One of the reasons, one of the main reasons, is the fact of how open everyone is, how approachable everyone is, how nice it is to work with everyone. I mean, it, as it goes all the way up to the top, I can walk into Peter's office today or tomorrow or any day of the week, really, and just pick his brain and ask him about his experience and get some real worthwhile stories and advice as to how to help my clients now. You know, he has a world of experience and just valuable advice that I'm constantly able to learn from him. And, you know, it goes all the way up the chain. I can go to any of the partners or any of the associates. Everyone's always willing to, you know, lend a hand. And, you know, I think Peter probably did that for everyone, and everyone wants to pay it forward within the firm, and it's great to work there.
Yeah, he's, I know Peter so many years, but he's really great. One new thing that you have is Ask the Lawyer. Can you tell us about it?
Right. So in the past half year or so, Peter Tichton has developed a, I don't know if it's a program, but it's sort of just, you know, a method to reach out to potential clients. It's called Ask Legal Brains, and you can go to asklegalbrains.com or it's on our website, legalbrains.com. And what it essentially is it's a way for people, consumers, individuals who have, you know, legal questions and they need answers to, but they don't necessarily know if they need a lawyer yet, but if they just have this question that they're dealing with that involves the law, they can go to asklegalbrains.com and they can submit that question. And for free of charge, one of the lawyers at the Tichton Law Group will respond to you via email, and you can develop sort of a rapport with that potential client and the lawyer. And if the match seems right and if there seems to be a cause of action that's legitimate and the client is interested in hiring an attorney, you know, it can mature into an actual attorney-client relationship, and we would represent that person in whatever legal endeavor they are involved with.
Do you think people start to take advantage of this service?
Do I think who can?
Yeah.
People. Do they take advantage of
it? They might take advantage of it, but, you know, I don't really know what you mean by take advantage. I mean, they ask us a question, right, and we'll respond with our best legal answer that we can possibly provide. You know, and even armed with that information, they're not going to be able to represent themselves in court. So if it's something where they're going to need legal representation, they're going to eventually hire us or go somewhere else where they're more comfortable. But, no, I don't anticipate them taking advantage of the service.
All right. So, and again, if you want to find all the information, go to our website, Family Power Hour, and our Facebook page, Family Power Hour, and you have all the information about the Tichton Law. And, again, call us, 347-945-7246. If you have any legal question that you want to ask Scott, he's here to answer. But again, it's a talk show. It's not a advice show. And
so what that means is you won't get specific questions to your specific situation, but general answers to your general questions, because we know you could be calling from California, New Jersey, and Florida, and Scott is not going to be able to address any issues that are outside of the state of Florida, and so all answers will be just for general discussion.
Especially considering that many questions would involve documentation that clearly I can't review over the phone or via email, that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
It's very general answers that, you know, if you need more detailed questions, you can set up consultations and that sort of thing.
Yeah, but you can
call me also, of course, like I said, at 954-570-6757. That's the phone number for the Ticton Law Group.
And tell us the first story about, tell us the first story. There was a question that someone texted the question.
Sure. This was a recent question that we got on the Ask Legal Brain service. This person lives in Florida, and he or she rents a condo from a private condo owner, and the property is actually in a foreclosure action right now, and he wanted to know whether he had to keep paying rent. And, you know, the short answer to this is yes. But there wasn't, you know, we would need more information really to answer this, but assuming that he's actually signed an agreement to pay the rent to the private owner, you know, the answer would clearly be yes. But if not, there's still probably a verbal meeting of the minds. And what that is essentially a verbal contract, which is enforceable in the courts. And if that's the case, you know, the private owner is essentially relinquishing his right of possession of the property for consideration of the rent payment.
So let me ask you a question. I renting a place from you and your house is foreclosure, and I refuse to pay the rent. Can you sue me?
I could sue you. I could try to evict you and remove you from the premises, that sort of thing. You know, the pending foreclosure action doesn't change the owner's status until a final foreclosure judgment is entered and the subsequent sale of the property is completed. So, yes, until that final sale, foreclosure sale, is completed, the owner of the condo has all rights and privileges that come with owning any other property, even if it's not in foreclosure. So, yes.
But the owner has a responsibility to inform the bank, right, that he's getting income. Let's say that owner is saying, bank, I can't pay your mortgage, but they're collecting rent. Do they have a responsibility to inform the bank?
I mean, if the bank asks, you can't lie. But I don't believe that you have to voluntarily provide that information. Now, if you're interested in maybe a loan modification, all that information will be disclosed to the bank. But if you're collecting rent money, you know, I'm not sure that it's the bank's business. If the bank was smart, they would add that before they filed suit against the owner who is having financial trouble, they would do their research and add the tenant as a defendant in the cause of action. And that way the tenant is part of the cause of action and is notified of everything that's going on.
The tenant needs to pay with no free rights. Eventually they need to pay.
Well, it's interesting because sometimes in family law, you know, there is a house that's in foreclosure. There's a husband and wife who live separately, and one of the parties has possession of the house, and they will try to keep undercover whether or not they're collecting that rent, and so that becomes, you know, an issue for the judge to decide what to do with that and whether or not that person can pay their own bills or has to pay the bills of the other side.
You have an obligation to tell the judge that they are collecting money?
Well, yes. You do have an obligation because you have a mandatory requirement to disclose, and if you don't tell, the other person's going to tell.
and I think that situation is a bit different than foreclosure because in family law, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not a family law attorney, but there's the idea of equitable distribution, right?
Right.
And so equitable distribution would obviously include any rents being obtained.
Not only that, it also goes to temporary support,
right.
You know, and child support and alimony. And you say, oh, Judge, I don't have anybody to pay support, but you're collecting rent. That's income, buddy.
I mean, to losing a house is terrible, especially for the children. You know, they're losing the roof of their head. It's not just just the money. But what's the percentage right now for foreclosure in South Florida? It's increased. It's less.
Well, the bubble is on foreclosure, just like the real estate market has started to burst a little bit, and we're seeing a little bit of a decrease in the amounts of foreclosures being filed. But it's still, hundreds of thousands of active foreclosure cases in Broward County alone.
Wow.
I believe Florida is number 3 in the country for active foreclosure cases.
Who's number 1?
It's either New York, New Jersey, or California. It's one of those 3.
Oh.
Florida is finally starting to turn around a little bit.
Yay.
You know, the market is starting to turn around a little bit. Property values are increasing, and it's, you know, the people who were kind of victims of the predatory lending and of the real estate bubble have either already experienced their financial difficulties and have been sued already, or, you know, they will soon be involved in the foreclosure action. So you're going to start to see in a few years that it's going to go back to the normal state of things as far as foreclosure, as far as the foreclosure docket goes.
Yeah. All right, we need to go to the break, and after the break, we're going to find out more story about more story.
Hi, this is Lisa Tarvis.
I'm
a metaphysician, board-certified holistic health practitioner, energy healer, intuitive, and the author of the book, Just Believe. I'm also a host on the RightStream Network. My radio show is called Just Believe and airs every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Please stop by my website at www.lisatarvis.com. That's LISATARVES. For details on all the services I offer, information on my book, and my radio show. There are many amazing guests and fascinating topics scheduled for the show in the upcoming months. I look forward to connecting with you soon.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for RightStream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. RightStream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. RightStream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the RightStream Radio Network.
And here we are again, Family Power Hour, every Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. And you can call us, 347-945-7246. And please go to our Facebook, Family Power. You have all the information about all the shows. And
tonight we're talking with Scott Hyman.
Hyman.
And we're sharing about stories that people may have issues when it comes to the legal system. I know we talk about legal issues and families a lot, and I think that's, you know, one of the scariest parts of our everyday lives is dealing with the unknown, the legal system, the court system, and putting our lives in the hands of a person in a black robe to make decisions. So, you know, we like to bring attorneys on to talk about their practice areas and really give you, the listeners, an opportunity to hear. It's not that bad. It's not that scary. And that to also share your story with us.
And as we learned last week, you need to find the right lawyer for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel comfortable, if you ask the question, do research who you're going to hire, because it's about you. It's about who's going to present you the best. So another story that you have for us, Scott.
Definitely. And I wanted to touch on the judge thing. You know, the law is so strange. You know, it can the results of your trial is obviously determined by a judge, and it just depends on how the judge is. It could just depend on how the judge is feeling that day. If he wakes up one morning and has his pro plaintiff cereal, that's who he's gonna rule for. If he wakes up tomorrow and has his pro defendant cereal, that's who he's gonna root for. So really, the law, aside from having a good attorney advocate for you, it can be very unpredictable and a scary situation. But I wanted to get.
I just want to address this. You know, the law is the law. It doesn't matter if the judge came for the if I was fighting with his wife or he has a very bad day. You know, he tried to do the best, but you need someone to represent you, and that's why you have Sheena Benjamin Wise, a family attorney. And if I need you, how can I find you there?
Yes, you can find me at 954-783-9737.
And we have Scott Hyman for Peter Kitchen, and how we can find you there?
My phone number is 954-570-6757. You can tweet at me at SHYMAN. Again, that should be spelled Shyman. 23. That's the Twitter handle.
Shyman, I like
tweet, 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 tweet.
And before you get into divorce, and before you need a lawyer, and you need to find out to clear your mind what you need to find me.
Right.
So another story, Scott.
Sure.
And who's me?
Who's me? Every week it's a good question. I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg, and you can reach me 561-271-7106. And I always say, I guarantee you, Scott Silva.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. So give us another story.
All right. So this is another one of the question and answer things from the Ask Legal Brain service that we started at the Tickpin Law Group. This question came from a person who was interested in helping his friend. He said that his friend, who was 90 years old, lives with the lady in the woman's house, and they're essentially lovers, right? So they're living together.
How old is she?
She's in her 80s as well.
Oh,
and
okay.
they share the expenses now, but they're not married. They're just lovers. Now, this person wanted to know if in the event where this woman passes away before the guy does, before the friend does, the woman's children are going to sell the house, and the guy will be kicked out with no means, and the friend wanted to know if the man will have any rights.
Wow.
This is a good question.
Drama.
Drama for your mom.
We need to have an episode, how you find a love when you are
a lover at 80 and 90.
Like one of those farmers only websites, right? 80s
over
only.
80.
Over 80.com.
So it is her house. They're living together. How long does children live together?
They've been living together for a decade or so.
They've been together for a while.
I mean, this is a serious relationship.
Do they have a mutual bank account?
That I don't know.
Okay.
But this is really about the house and about the belongings in the house. The woman owns it, and the man essentially wants to know what would happen if the woman dies.
Yeah.
Will he be protected? You know, and Florida, unfortunately, probably doesn't have any rights because it's not his house, it's not his property, and it doesn't
and
really.
He's not married.
Right. He's not, right. And I'm going to talk about that, but you know, especially if there's no will here, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So because as we all know, Florida doesn't recognize common law marriage.
Right.
And nor does it recognize the right of a boyfriend or a girlfriend to share in an estate. So my suggestion would be to have the woman put him on the deed. Right, put him on the deed. This would make him a 50-50 owner. Or in the case where the woman wants her kids to own the house and still protect the man in her life, she could execute what's called a life estate deed. And what would essentially happen is if the woman died, it would protect the man because he would be able to take possessory interest in the property until he then passed away. And then once both people passed away, the property would then pass on to her children, and this is called the life estate interest in the property. He would have a possessory interest but not an ownership interest in the property.
But as long as she didn't write a will, that everything goes to him.
No, everything, if without a will, everything would go to the children.
The children, but if she has the will, I mean, it will not go automatically to the boyfriend?
Well, if she puts him in there, if she disinherits her children, then yeah.
All right. But if she's 90, then, you know, they see the children can claim that she was not in a clear state of mind when she was.
Yeah. Yeah. Called undue influence. It comes up all the time. There's two coins to every legal argument, right? Or two sides to every legal argument.
So what you say here, that if you have the situation, you live with someone, even for decades, just you need to protect yourself and write a will or do
a life estate deed.
You know, I have a similar story where a man and woman were living together for about 14 years. And the boyfriend died, and the family came from wherever they were coming from, middle Florida. They came down to Fort Lauderdale and basically kicked her out, took the car. Now, the car is the kicker because the car was titled in both their names. Mm. They pretty much, according to her, dragged her over to Auto Nation or CarMax or one of those places, got a value on the car, and said, give us the money for this truck or else. And she, not having a lawyer, acquiesced, signed off, and left with pretty much nothing. So,
Did you represent that person?
Oh, no. This is just a story. Yeah. This is not what I do. I don't do that kind of work. I do family law.
She should call Scott. But you find this situation, every time you find yourself in a legal situation, don't try to do it by yourself.
Get help.
Go and call lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Don't try to solve your problems. Find a good lawyer, and if it's a family lawyer, you need to call Sheena. If it's it's other work or foreclosure, other lawyer thing, you can call Peter Tickton. You can call Scott, and try to protect yourself because you can go back. But you have another story?
Definitely.
All right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this one is sort of about wills also, and this situation presents itself a lot because people are constantly moving into different states, right? Especially people who are elder are constantly moving down to Florida for the sunshine and to retire and that sort of thing. So this person had a will that was made for her when she lived in Massachusetts, and she moved to Florida to retire. She wanted to know if it was a legal and valid will, and this is a very legitimate question. I mean, it comes up all the time, right? And generally speaking, just because your will was executed in a different state, that doesn't mean that it's not a legal or valid will. It's still legal and valid, of course. But there are different laws that govern wills and estates and trusts in the different jurisdictions. So it's definitely a good idea if this situation presents itself to you or a family member or a friend to have your will reviewed now that you've moved to another state. And this is going to ensure that your estate is going to be distributed the way you intended it to be. Because it can be dangerous to try and have an estate probated in a state that the will isn't governing, right? Because there could be different laws that impacts the will, like I was saying. You know, the same goes for if you bought or sold property since your will was executed, because that's going to affect how things are distributed in your will.
So what you mean that if somebody, I mean, all the snowboarder, all the people that are just moving to live in Florida, if you have a will for another state, just go and just review the will to see if it's valid here in Florida.
For a nominal fee, you're able to make sure that your will is going to be distributed the way that you intended it to be on. I mean, just imagine how frustrating it would be for family members or, you know, for anyone really, for someone to think that they have a perfectly good will and then it's going to be completely destroyed just because they move states to retire. I mean, that would be a terrible situation, and it happens all the time.
Right. And it's important to have something in place because to avoid the infighting in families, and talk about fighting in a family,
especially with money involved.
Divorce is bad. Situation.
Yeah. So. But let's say this person that if she has still have property in Massachusetts, and so she needs to have two wills, one is going to be valid there and one is here. I mean, how?
No, you don't need two wills because it just the jurisdiction. This is how wills work. The jurisdiction that the law that governs the will be where your primary residence is when you pass away. Or if you're living in Florida and you have property in the mountains in Colorado, Colorado law will govern how that property is distributed. But we can get away from those complex situations. If you have a will that was made in another state and then you move to Florida, it's just a good idea to talk with an attorney and so that you can get some advice to make sure that that will be distributed and devised the way you intended it to, because there are subtle differences in different states' laws, but they're subtle enough to make a monstrous difference.
It's good to know that. In case family getting divorced and the mother living here and the father in New York, so do you have any case that they used to deal with, the parents don't want to live in the same state?
That happens all the time, whether it happens before the divorce is filed or after the divorce is filed. And then before the divorce is filed, and depending on how long the residence requirement is for that particular state, the party can kind of choose the one that's more beneficial to them, depending on what their outcomes are. So sometimes when you want, for instance, child support until the child is 21, you want to, file your divorce in a state that's in the north. But if you, want to make sure that happens, if they emancipate at 18 and 18 they're done, they're on their own, Florida is the state for you. So, there is something what we call, you can choose the jurisdiction if you qualify for the jurisdictional requirements that come with it.
Yeah, qualifying means they have to live in another state.
Yeah, I mean, some states are every state is different. Florida says you have to live here for the 6 months before any divorce can be filed, mm-hmm. To have jurisdiction over you and the property. Other states require separation for a year and 6 months of living in that particular state. So every state has different.
So what would happen if you moved here and mm-hmm. you're only here for 3 years and you want to get a divorce? You said you need six to be here for 6 years?
6 months.
Oh, 6 months.
Yeah,
six months. What if you're here for 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen if you want to get a divorce? Would you have to travel to your previous state to get a divorce?
Yeah, you would have to determine which is the best. If you're here for less than 6 months, you cannot get divorced here in Florida. So you have to put your feet up and relax for the next 3 months and wait, or determine whether or not the state you come from is still viable for you to file your divorce. So that's up to the client to make a decision.
I can't imagine anything more relaxing than a divorce.
Some people have been separated so long, it doesn't matter to them.
I'm sure it's going to have a lot of good story about, because listen, every separation, when people get married, nobody thinks that they're going to get a divorce. And then you have children, and you have family, and you have money, and then suddenly you need just like a card, just bring everything. It's not easy. Even people that want to move on, it's not easy to get a divorce.
And it just complicates it more when children are involved, because you absolutely have a 6 month requirement for our judges to make a decision on that on the child.
Just one question: that if a couple just separate for 6 months and they can show they're not living the other one house, that's considered divorce already, or before they get into paper?
Either you're married or divorced in the state of Florida. This isn't a thing of separation or anything like that, and you do have to go through the procedures that are required. I mean, the quickest divorce in Florida is filing a divorce, signing an agreement, and getting divorced in 20 days. So that's only if everybody's cooperative, everybody turns
get
in their paperwork.
Get rich quick,
Steve.
That's as fast as you can do it.
And it's the difference between Brown and West Palm?
No. The whole state of Florida has the same rules.
Yeah. One of the couples, that she said that somebody told her that West Palm is better to get divorced in West Palm. It's more easier.
Well, she's probably talking about, her experience with her judges in that area, not necessarily the county.
Yeah.
Broward County has one central location for judges, and we've got about 9 family law judges that may have 8,000 cases each. And in Palm Beach, you have 3 locations where you can have a divorce in South Palm Beach, Central and North, and so you have a little bit of a spread out, but
you know, it's really how you experience the one judge or the two judges that you participate, you know.
You need to have a very good lawyer and to be lucky. Another story.
Another one.
Absolutely. You have so many stories.
Tell us the topics, and then we'll come back after the break, and then we'll hear the details.
Sure, I have one. I have one that's about paying taxes. Who's not interested in that?
Yeah, it's
coming up to April, and
we're gonna go to the break, and stay tuned and call us 347-945-7246.
Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to Military Monday with host John D. Gresham, author, military historian, and journalist. John delves into a unique aspect of U.S. military history, as well as current events and issues affecting our men and women in uniform. Featuring exceptional guests, military experts, and authors, Military Monday with John D. Gresham entertains, informs, and encourages listeners to support those who put it all on the line for freedom. Military Monday with John D. Gresham. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network.
And we are back with the Family Power Hour. We are here with Scott Hyman.
That's correct.
And we're talking about the legal issues that impact families. And if you have a story or experience that you want to share, call 347-945-7246. And as we're going out to the break, we asked Scott what was the next question, and we're talking about taxes.
Yes, but if you want to share with us the story, if you don't want to call, you can go to the Facebook page and you can Family Power and you can write your story there, and you can text us
in a chat room.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So the next one is about paying taxes, and it's relevant because we're coming up to tax season.
Yes.
Nobody likes paying taxes. Everyone
April 15, everyone, in case you forgot.
Everyone loves the returns, though.
Yeah.
So this question was about her sister is in a nursing home, right? And the sister is completely incapacitated, unfortunately. They wanted to know whether this incapacitated person is required to file taxes. And the short answer is that even though the sister is completely incapacitated, it really doesn't have an effect on whether she would be required to file a tax return, right? So important information to know would be what income she receives, how she supports herself, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would imagine if this incapacitated person has been in that state for more than a year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
if she's receiving Social Security benefits, disability benefits, unemployment income, dividends income, just because she's incapacitated doesn't mean that she doesn't have stock or bonds and that she's not making dividend income on that.
So are you saying interest, paid interest is income?
Excuse me?
You're saying income paid on interest is income?
Yes.
And when you finish, I have some story to tell about.
Just because she's incapacitated doesn't mean that she's not going to inherit something. The short answer is if just because she's in a nursing home and is completely incapacitated does not have any relevance as to whether she's going to have to pay taxes. That on itself does not matter. It would be the normal factors as to whether she would have to pay taxes.
You need to know that something I learned last week, that it was the law and it started to force the law in 2014. If you have money out of the country on board, it doesn't matter. If you have any kind of percentage, you need to report to IRS because this is another income you try to hide. So
this is how people get in trouble with the law. It's called,
yes.
I mean, it's tax fraud.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get around it. The IRS and the government, they're going to find out because they're coming after you each and every year that you're alive, right?
And they have a lot of branches, all IRS branches all over the world. And they, in some countries, they have any kind of agreement that the bank needs to tell U.S. IRS that Mr. X, has an account. When I heard the story, it sounded, you know, like a fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Why? And yes, they started forcing the law in 2014, but it was a minimum. If I have a bank account in Switzerland, it's a minimum. I didn't understand if it's a 10,000 or 20,000. Mm-hmm. You have the minimum. And you need to declare that you have money.
I do know that there's a specific form, and it was in place before 2014, where you do have to declare
mm-hmm.
your foreign assets and income.
Yes.
And I don't think a lot of people, especially in South Florida, realize that they have an obligation to report.
No politics, not
yet. Yeah.
But yes, if this is something that you need to know. And that's why, but go back to this
I wanted to say a little bit more. Just because,
okay, sorry.
I mean, the sister is incapacitated, right? So someone has to file her taxes. It's clearly not going to be her. So only an authorized person would be able to file the taxes on behalf of the incapacitated sister. Typically, that would be a spouse or a legal guardian. But whoever ends up filing the taxes would need to get governmental approval or appointment to end up filing the tax, and that's important to know if you have a loved one who needs to file their taxes and they're incapacitated in this upcoming tax season.
Which, no matter what,
help them get those qualifications so that they can apply to the government?
What's that?
Would you be able to help them
get
the
qualifications? Oh, yes, of course.
So no matter what, you need to pay taxes. And don't forget, it's April 15th. It's a due day, and do it. Nobody can run for the taxes, and don't want IRS going to hunt you. They can call you, you need to do what you need to do. But this is really strange. I mean, because if she don't have a family, she have no one, and she not earning any money. Maybe all the money that's covered all the health expense,
Earlier, it really depends on your specific situation. We can only give you general responses, general answers to the situation. And as Scott said, is that she's got some specific areas that we don't really know the answer to.
Yeah,
we don't know how long she's worked. We don't know how much she earned. We don't know if she's got interest that she's collecting or royalties from a book or something like that. Mm-hmm.
But in her situation, I think she can't pay the amount.
So there should be I'm in a coma exception.
And sometimes I know a lot of people are going to be in the same situation. But it was so many stories, and it's a great service that people are doing. You can ask a question, you have an answer. But tell us about you. You
something
said
interesting about
the breakfast. You are a sports lover,
am a lover of sports.
Yes.
I'm also a lover of my family. I have a beautiful nieces and nephew, Haley, Peyton, and Shauna. But, I love sports. I'm obsessed with March Madness. It's a three-week event, a big basketball tournament with 68 teams, and my beloved Gators are still in it.
All right.
We're the number one overall seed. We're taking on UCLA tomorrow night, so I'm excited about that.
I heard there was a big bet offered by a very rich guy.
Yes.
So how are you doing with that?
Warren Buffett is offering $1 billion to anyone who has a perfect bracket.
Wow.
Now, the odds of getting a perfect bracket are, I believe, they're 1 in 9.8 quintillion or something like that, which is 18 zeros. So I don't know if there are better odds on anything.
No.
Nope. after the first round, nobody had a perfect bracket.
Man.
And everyone's dreams
it's
of getting $1 billion and quitting their jobs
flew away
within seconds. So.
Did you play any kind of sport?
I played football for 4 years in high school. I mostly rode the pine, but that's
which
okay.
High school?
Terravella High School.
Oh, Terravella. All right. So this must have passed.
Yeah, it's so
fun. So, why didn't you continue to do it like the...
Because I'm very skinny and unathletic.
Yeah, but
my brains are better than my athleticism, I should put it that way.
That's, what else you can tell me about yourself? I mean, that you have you're going to do you're going to do the Passover. It's the next
for Passover, yes.
Yeah,
we're having my family will be putting together a humongous Passover Seder as they do every year. And this is going to be the first time I'm going to be home for Passover in 8 years because I was in Gainesville for the last 7 or 8 years for school. So that'll be nice to get some.
And who's within the Haggadah or the Kashiyot?
I guess
the
it'll be we'll toss it
around.
Are you
the youngest one?
No, I'm not the the nephews and nieces are the youngest.
It's a very nice holiday. I mean that you know that I'm Jewish, but I'm not practice Judaism. But it's very nice because people are sitting together and with the Haggadah and have fun and eating a lot of great food. And it's
like
food.
A Jewish Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I like it.
Right. Well, last year you had Jewish the Hanukkah and Thanksgiving together. Anyway.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Too much to handle. And my birthday is November 23rd.
Oh,
so
that was holiday
week.
All right.
I feel like I got skimped out on that.
Yeah. But go to the Facebook. We're still going to replay the most popular show that we have.
Yeah.
Go to the Facebook. We're going to be in touch. And when we come back, we can have Dr. Jane Grumman.
All right.
Yes, and she will
talk about health
and women issues, and she's really, really amazing. She knows her stuff, and I heard her speaking. Everybody talk about nutrition, about IT aging, but she's really know her stuff. And Scott, what you can tell? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
It's social media, and
yes.
You're so busy.
Tweeting.
Yeah, the tweeting.
All
right.
All of my fans and followers.
All those people are tweeting you.
But do me a favor. Do us a favor. Tweet everybody. Ask your friends
definitely
to go.
Promote
the
show.
Yes, not to just promote the show. Go to the Facebook page, Family Power. Like us. And it's easy to see because you're going to see Sheena and me on the photo picture and like us and all the information that you have there. So how did you like the show?
It was enjoyable. My radio debut, I would say, got an A+.
So one more time, tell our listeners who you are, how they can find you.
Scott Hyman of the Ticton Law Group. The phone number is 954-570-6757.
Do you have a website?
The website is legalbrains.com. The Twitter is SHYMAN23. That's
ShyMan23. Okay.
And, you know, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And who you are,
they're
sitting next to me.
Yes, I am Sheena Benjamin Wise, your family law attorney. I practice in Pompano Beach, Florida. You can reach me at 954-73-9737, and I'm the wisest choice in family law.
You're absolutely the wisest choice. And you are the best. And I'm Dr. Billy Eisenberg. I'm clinical psychologist and family therapist here in Boca, 561-271-7106. And please, again, I'm begging you, go to our Facebook, like us, and listen to all the archives.
Mm-hmm.
And just text us, write us what you want, what episode you want to hear, and just a question. And we would like to thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
He was busy with their texting. Someone was more important to us.
Somebody is keeping his attention. Somebody is a lucky person.
And thank you so much. And thank you, Peter, for the opportunity to talk about all the aspects of our law firm.
Mm-hmm.
And we really appreciate it. And again, thank you. Thank you so, so much, dear. As always, you are the best.
Nice.
And for you, have a great evening. Don't forget your sweater. And listen to us. Have a great evening. Thank you so much.
Toodaloo.